This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
That at the moment. Now we've got movie review. We've got Stephen A. Russell.
Oh, not him.
Well,
oh,
yeah, I know. Really? He keeps turning up every fortnight, David. You keep inviting him. So welcome to the show, Stephen. How are you?
He's not there.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, there we are.
Oh, there we are. I was just saying, don't be mean to me today, lads. I'm very sick. I need to cure.
Oh, that's right. Yes. You know, like you said you had a sniffle. Are you feeling a bit better, Stephen?
I'm a little bit better, but I haven't got my COVID result yet. So I'm locked in out of the cinemas.
Right. Okay. Watching lots of movies. All right. Let's get stuck into them, exactly. Stephen. What's happening?
Yes. Well, I guess the first major one today is one for the rev heads out there, and that is Fast and Furious.
Oh, no. Nine. I knew you were going to talk about this.
I know. Well, I don't want to either, David, but, you know, millions of people do. So.
Yeah.
Look, I it's kind of surprising that this, you know, franchise is now up to number 9. 10 if you include the spin-off Hobbs and Shaw.
Right.
But the reason for that, David, is because it makes a million bajillion dollars
absolutely.
At the box office.
Yep.
You know? So what we've got is we've got Vin Diesel back as Dominic Toretto. And, like, when this franchise started, hand on heart, I really enjoyed it. It was all about, you know...
No, you enjoyed that guy, the main actor, who's very, very cute, who's no longer with us. He was hot.
Oh, yeah, Paul Walker.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That's his name.
He was very hot. But look, it used to be about cars. It used to be about stunts. It used to be about racing. It was really frenetic. You were right in amongst it. These days, it's all about computer graphics and a kind of Mission Impossible style spy knockoff.
Yep.
And look, it's kind of boring when you just look at these, you know, fake cars doing fake stunts that are completely unbelievable. It doesn't do a lot for me. Look, you've got a likable cast. You've got like Lost star Michelle Rodriguez. You know, you've got Jordana Brewster as his sister Mia. You've got two rappers, Tyrese Gibson and Ludacris. And you've also got, for Game of Thrones stars, Natalie Emmanuel, who played Missandei.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they're a likable cast.
And, Stephen, sorry, but don't we also have Helen Mirren in it?
Well, I was going to say...
Oh, sorry.
Don't you worry.
Your thunder.
I'm getting Helen. What the series has ridiculously inserted for this, you know, bearing in mind that they're always talking about family, right? So this is kind of like a group of people who have, you know, created their own found family. Weirdly, number 9 in, we suddenly have former wrestler John Cena as the heretofore unmentioned brother of Dom, Jacob with a K. And so he's the villain this time round, right? We've never heard of him before. All of a sudden, here he is. He's not very memorable. He's very surly the whole way through the film. Honestly, the whole dynamic of him and Vin Diesel being head-to-head over some end-of-the-world plot that makes no sense is not particularly interesting. But you are right, Neil. there is two absolute, you know, lifelines in this otherwise rather boring film. And one of them is the dame, Helen Mirren, who is only in it for one scene, but my goodness, she steals the entire film in that one scene, hooning around with her stolen diamond and emerald necklace on. And the other one is Charlize Theron, who was previously... And, you know, in one of the previous films, as the villain Cypher, who is a digital terrorist who, you know, has given them lots of grief before, and she is also excellent. But unfortunately, between the two of them, you'd be struggling to rack up 10 minutes of screen time.
Wow.
So what that leaves you with is 2 hours and 20 minutes of sputtering without gas.
All right. Okay. Well, give it a... come on. We've talked enough about it. Enough. How many stars?
Right. I'm going to be brutal, and I'm giving it one. I just didn't see the point of it.
Why did you waste all that time talking about it, and you've given it one star?
Because people need to know, David.
All right. Okay. Look, people will anyway. It doesn't matter what I think. People are going to go and see it in their millions, and fair play to them. Now, okay, right on. I'm going to take that criticism and give you a 4-star film. I'm going to get that out the way, David, so you're happy. Okay,
yes,
4 stars.
Done.
And that is also in cinemas right now, and it is the New Zealand film Cousins.
Ah.
Now, this is the complete opposite of a massive blockbuster. It's a small, independent film. Created by Maori co-directors Ainsley Gardiner and Briar Grace-Smith, it's really nice to see that it's also in the Australian box office top 10 right now.
Oh,
and
nice.
And it's partly because there are no blockbusters around right now, or not very many.
Yeah.
Look, this is a real labour of love. It was adapted by the Maori author Patricia Grace. And it tells the stories of three women. One, Makareta, who's raised to lead her tribe, but she has other ideas. Then you've got Missy, her younger sister, who's the overlooked workhorse of the family. And then you've got Mata, who way back, you know, in the aftermath of World War II, was separated from her family. So it's a little bit stolen generations. And what this is, it's a beautiful, emotional story of three Maori women in New Zealand, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Now, the way it works, it sort of spans 50 years, so you've got lots of different actors playing each of the three main roles, but the one that people will recognise most is Rachel House, who is one of my absolutely favourite Kiwi actors. Now, she was in, if you love Taika Waititi films, she was in Thor Ragnarok. And she was also in Hunt for the Wilder People.
That's right.
You know, she's a really great actor, predominantly known for more comic roles. So here we get to see her kind of, you know, do the more dramatic acting. Look, I love this. It's really, it's an emotional film, again, about, you know, family, belonging and community.
All right. And I reckon
in cinemas now.
And 4 stars, I reckon you're going to give it. Is that right?
Yes, I did. 4 stars.
How did you work that one out?
Well, he said it at the top, saying, no, he's a 4-star. I'm being a smart ass.
Now, I'm going to give you another little independent film, because, you know, we're still in that sweet spot where indie films are doing pretty well. This one is called My Zoe, and it is out now as well. Now, it's written by, directed by, and stars Julie Delpy. Now, you might know this French actress from starring in American movies alongside Ethan Hawke, the Richard Linklater's romantic Before trilogy. So I think that's probably where most of you will know her.
Yeah, I know her. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, it kind of did a day in the life, and then it dropped in on him 10 years later, and then 20 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah, really beautiful. But she has also done her own romantic comedies, 2 Days in Paris and 2 Days in New York. Uh-huh. But this is a very different kind of film. She plays a single mum living in Berlin, separated from her British husband, who the Berlin station actor Richard Armitage. They're kind of, so it sets it up as a kind of family drama about a separated couple arguing over the daughter, right? Doesn't seem super new. A fairly domestic drama. And then it takes this really weird dystopian tilt, and it's set in the near future. I'm not going to tell you too much about that, but the Marvel villain Daniel Brühl, who was recently in The Falcon and Winter Soldier, is a geneticist who is connected to this single mum, and something terrible happens to her daughter, and that's all I'm going to say, is it then goes into this really weird moral play about if you can. Should you? I wouldn't say any more because it would spoil it, but it's a real Sophie's Choice kind of film.
Oh, good, good.
And I'm going to give, My Zoe, out in cinemas now, 3.5 stars from me.
All right, done. Well, Stephen...
Do we have time for one more?
Okay.
No?
Quickly, yep.
Alrighty, there's also an Australian one out right now called Buckley's Chance. Now, I got very excited by this one, David, because if you know your Australian history, which I suspect you do, you'd know that the 21-year-old escapee convict William Buckley has an incredible story. Like, he, you know, back in colonial, you know, frontier wartime, he fled, and he ended up falling in with a First Nations tribe who, you know, he learned the language, he lived with them, he got married. Anyway, this film is not about him, which is the common term, Buckley's chances. So instead, what it is, Buckley's Chance is the name of a fictional place that's obviously named after him. And what it is, it's a story about a young New York kid, Ridley, the newcomer Milan Birch, who's uprooted with his mum to live in the WA desert in a town called Buckley's Chance. And we're, after the death of his Australian father, they're both American, except they're actually Australian, doing terrible American accents, anyway. Weirdly, to make that point stranger, the person who plays his Australian grandfather that they go and live with is Bill Nighy, the very famous English actor. And let me tell you, his Australian accent is probably the second worst I've ever heard in cinema. Well, with Quentin Tarantino being the first.
Okay, so how good or bad? What's the rating for it? What are you giving it?
Look, it's pretty boring. The young kid goes missing, goes into the outback, makes friends with a dingo. We've seen it all before. Not much else happens for 90 minutes, so I'm giving it 2.5 stars.
Yeah, oh, okay. That's a sad.
That's out next week.
All right.
Buckley's Chance, okay. Next week.
All right, Stephen, get well, and I hope you haven't anything bad.
Thanks, Stephen.
I hope so too.
We'll speak to you in a couple of weeks. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye, boys.
Bye.
You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.